News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning, y'all. It is about 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton. And your phone calls, certainly welcome at 251-343-0106.
And a lot to get to this hour coming up at 8.30. The return of Rob Hulbert with Lanyap. And he's going to talk with us about some of the stories that they have in their newest edition of Lanyap, which is on stands now. But a lot to get into before we have Rob on the line. And I want to talk a bit about one of our top stories this morning, Dan, and that is the bill that was voted on in the House on Tuesday, H.R. 550, and kind of tie this into some of the things we're seeing internationally as far as lockdowns go for COVID. So first, and I'm surprised this isn't a bigger story, I've looked all over and I'm only seeing Breitbart and Newsmax that are reporting on this. No Fox News, no I don't even know if the Daily Caller has it. Certainly no CNN or MSNBC. But here's the story. So 80 House Republicans on Tuesday voted alongside Democrats and passed the Immunization Infrastructure Modernization Act. So it's made it through the House. And if it's passed by the Senate and then signed into law by President Biden, it would fund a federal vaccination database. According to that bill, the government would provide $400 million in taxpayer dollars to fund immunization system data modernization and expansion, a system that they also define as a, quote, confidential, okay, population-based computerized database that records immunization doses administered by any healthcare provider to persons within that geographic area covered by that database. Basically, this gives the CDC capabilities that they haven't had before. It'll allow the public health departments, also state and local health departments, and public and private healthcare providers to share health data with the federal government. And they would never use that for improper means, I'm sure.
So they're going to have on record every American that's been vaccinated, when they were vaccinated, how many vaccination shots they got.
Mm-hmm.
That'll all be on the record?
Now, the way I understand it, the way this sort of began its journey, they were acting like this was about other immunizations, not necessarily COVID vaccinations, but, you know, the... You know, when you have, and I've been going through this the last few years, when you have a kid, they have a schedule of vaccines.
Yes.
And, you know, for our part, I know that not everyone feels the same. We've taken our two children and gotten them vaccinated. And I know of some people personally whose children have had poor responses to those vaccines, not even the COVID vaccines, mm-hmm. but some of the others that the children have. But kind of the way this was presented was, oh, this is about other vaccines. But I don't think, I mean, unless you are so willing to just follow the government line on anything, who would believe that this isn't all about COVID, right?
Well, not just that, but you found Jen Psaki pretty much, it was back in the spring, I believe, mm-hmm. right? Where she said, we have no plans to do anything like that.
Yeah.
And don't worry about that.
So here she is. And I haven't seen anyone play this either. I think we're probably the only people that have this audio or at least playing it in reference to this story. So with this bill, which would create, again, a federal vaccination database, with it passing this week, look back to April when the press secretary, Jennifer Psaki, explicitly said this wouldn't happen.
Well, let me be very clear on this. I know there's been lots of questions. The government is not now, nor will we be supporting a system that requires Americans to carry a credential. There will be no federal vaccinations database and no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential. As these tools are being considered by the private and nonprofit sectors, our interest is very simple from the federal government, which is Americans' privacy and rights should be protected, and so that these systems are not used against people unfairly.
So you know how over the last 2 years, the way that COVID data has been compiled, it starts at the local level, right? The local healthcare providers that received positive tests or hospitalizations for people that were positive with COVID, they would take that bulk data and send it to the state health departments. The state health departments would then compile that data, mm-hmm. and it would make its way into some federal log or more often, you know, The Atlantic and some of these other publications that were keeping up with all of this. Well, that, as far as I know, didn't involve specific names. Like, Dan Brennan was hospitalized with COVID on this date. That's not what it said. It just said we have 33 people hospitalized
with
COVID.
Number of cases, right.
But this would take the vaccinations and say, you know, Dan got vaccinated on this date, his first shot of the Pfizer. And then he got his second shot of the Pfizer 6 weeks later. And then it wouldn't say, you know, Dalton Orwig blank if I didn't get the vaccine. And again, I had one of the shots. I haven't even gotten the second one.
You've had COVID, and you got one shot, and you did poorly with that shot.
Yeah, yeah. Just got a little sick. Yeah. You know, I wasn't on my deathbed or anything like that. But
you were pretty upside down for 12 hours or something.
Yeah, it was like a really bad hangover. The Bills,
I wouldn't know anything about that.
No, you wouldn't. I'll describe what one of those is like to you one of these days.
Very kind of you.
The Bills' main sponsor is Ann Custer out of New Hampshire,
yes.
A Democrat. She said the system, and it's all in good faith, right? She said the system would be used to remind patients when they're due for a recommended vaccine, because of course we need the feds to be the ones to remind us, and identify areas with low vaccination rates to, quote, ensure equitable distribution of vaccines. Now that is complete BS, because the problem isn't the supply of vaccines. You can get a vaccine anywhere you go in America. They're looking at the areas who aren't getting vaccinated is what this is about. And it's not about the distribution. It's about the implementation, right? But it's not just Democrats. And you would think that after this last year and a half, that Republicans would well know what side of the fence their constituents stand on. It had four Republican co-sponsors. And again, 80 House Republicans voted alongside Democrats. I need to see where our contingent voted. And if any voted alongside those Democrats, explain, you know, why. What their point was, but it had four Republican co-sponsors, two out of Indiana, Larry Buchon and James Baird, one out of West Virginia, David McKinley, and then another Republican out of Pennsylvania, Brian Fitzpatrick. The Democrats all voted for the bill. Again, 80 Republicans voted alongside, and the rest of the Republicans voted against. Now, Breitbart spoke with Mary Miller, a Republican representative out of Illinois, and she said the legislation paves the way for the government to give blue states millions in taxpayer funds to enforce vaccine mandates. According to the bill's text, the government could award grants and cooperative agreements to health departments or other local governmental entities for agreeing to adopt the new data collection guidelines set by the CDC. So they will incentivize, basically, by what we've seen, you know, with a lot of these company mandates, they will incentivize local public and private health companies to gather that data and send it off because they could be in line for grants. And we know now that no one or very few people are willing to turn down government money, even if it means turning over the names of your own customers.
So is that a small portion of the bill? Is that the main point of the bill? You know what I'm saying? How big is this bill?
Did
you have to dig into it to find that portion of the bill, or was it just kind of straight ahead? Hey, you're going to be in a database, and that's all she wrote.
I mean, that's the entire point, is to find out who's been vaccinated and who hasn't, and then in order to, you know, the carrot rather than the stick is to provide money to these entities that go along with it. And back to the main sponsor, Custer, she wants the Senate, obviously, to pass the legislation quickly. She said the pandemic showed just how underprepared the country's vaccine infrastructure is. She emphasized that the legislation would help better prepare healthcare systems for future public health crises. She said COVID pulled back the curtain on our vaccination systems and highlighted the urgent need for upgrades. I'm proud the House passed my bipartisan Immunization Infrastructure Modernization Act to blah, 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 blah.
So when I got the vaccine back, I think it was early, I thought it was April, but then the USA Health said it was March. But let's say it was April. First one was going to be happened like April the 4th. And then my second shot was going to be in late April, right? In any event, I was looking to see if I could get that booster, and they had it all on record. I was like, I think I've got my card, but I'm not sure I've got my... Don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
I was glad they
right.
had it
on
record.
It made it easier for you.
But
again, that's whoever you went to get that from, and you got it from the Mobile...
Yeah.
USA Health.
USA Health,
that's right. And, you know, I go to CVS to pick up my medications, and it's one thing as a private citizen to give a private company
right.
access to your information. I mean, you know what you sign up for.
Yeah.
There's been a medication I've been needing to pick up, you know, a refill, and CVS knows that I'm supposed to pick it up. I mean, they've called me from their automated system 50 times.
But Biden doesn't know that you need to pick it up.
Biden doesn't know.
You're not going to get a call from the White House. Hey, Dalton, you need to pick that up.
Exactly.
Man. We've been watching your account, and why haven't you gotten that medication?
And even if the entire point, and I know it isn't, even if the entire point was so that the feds could, in the words of Custer, remind patients when they're due for a recommended vaccine, the federal government is terrible at any job they pick up, right? So, I mean...
Not the most efficient group out there.
Yeah, sure. I mean, CVS, Walgreens, local pharmacies blow them out of the water because they're doing their job, right? And they want people to come to them to spend money with them. So what other reasons would the federal government ponder this question and call us? And we're not stupid. I know that there's certain reasons they want all of our data, but I'd like someone to call in or text in and say it. Why do you think the federal government wants a database of who's been vaccinated and who hasn't? And if you're someone who believes this isn't about COVID, it's just about all these other vaccinations, then it must be nice living in that world because this is obviously all about COVID. And I can tell you
why the Republican co-sponsors?
That's a great question. That is a fantastic question. I have no idea. It obviously, you know, if their constituents knew about it, I don't think they'd be happy that these Republicans jumped on.
That's why I was wondering was, you know, the total language of the bill. Was it just a tiny portion of the bill or was this the whole point of the bill?
And I don't have that answer right now. That's a great question.
Well, we'd love to hear from you on the text line. You can also call. That's fine. 251-343-0106. This is something we want to get into for sure, and it's really interesting. You know, we talk a lot about the media, even though we are the media, we're local media, and it's all about news on FM Talk 106.5. But at the same time, it is interesting to see who's running with the story and who's ignoring it.
Yeah.
And it's a little surprising.
And as far as your question about how big a part of this is it in the bill, I mean, the bill is named the Immunization Infrastructure Modernization
Act.
So that's what it's all about.
All right. Hey, this time tomorrow, by the way, we're going to be talking to Paul Feinbaum. It's Football Fridays with Feinbaum, and it is brought to you by Bryant Bank. And this portion of Mobile Mornings brought to you by Bryant Bank. If you're looking for a personalized banking experience and you don't want to feel like you're just another number, that is kind of frustrating, right? You need to switch to Bryant Bank. They've got four locations. They've got three in Baldwin County and one here in Mobile. At Bryant Bank, they focus solely on you. You've got direct access to a banker, and that can solve a lot of problems when you're just face-to-face like that, right? And if you're looking to purchase a home or refinance, Bryant Bank's experienced team of mortgage lenders, they're ready to serve you right now, like today. Meet the team or apply for a loan online. Visit bryantbank.com/mortgage. They've got the branches in Daphne. They've got one in Foley, down in Orange Beach. And also, they didn't forget about Mobile, Airport Boulevard right here in Mobile. So whatever branch it might be, you want to go ahead and visit the folks at Bryant Bank. I would do that. Bryant Bank, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 582-857. Your phone calls, your texts, certainly welcome on that subject or many more. Also, Rob Holbert from Lagniappe Mobile, back on the show. Great to have him. That'll be about 8:35 this morning. You ever been out to Car Doctor?
Have I? Multiple times.
Yeah, cars everywhere.
They do?
Unbelievable.
I mean,
I probably should not have been startled that Car Doctor had
a bunch of carts. Truly surprise you? They've got all kinds of golf carts.
A little bit, yeah. Just a variety in how many they had on them.
Fast golf carts, slow golf carts.
I love the slow ones. Very, very careful. Cautious in life.
Mm-hmm.
825 FM Talk 106.5. Rob Holbert, this could be just nice to talk with Rob again after, you know, he was in that very serious boating accident a couple of months back, maybe now.
Yeah.
But he is beyond on the mend. I think he's just about all better, which is great to hear, but it'd also be good to get an idea what's in the new Lagniappe. We'll look that thing over and let him tell us about what's going on. Some hyper-local publication, by the way, and I love that about it.
Yeah, so I had a plan to talk about Germany locking down. This morning they announced a lockdown for the unvaccinated, or maybe Australia. Headline out of Australia, three men have climbed the barbed wire fence to escape the voluntary quarantine camp.
How does that sentence make any sense at all?
Barbed wire, escape, voluntary. unbelievable. Or maybe even yesterday, and Fox News' Ducey asking Fauci about vaccinations for people coming into the U.S., and then he says, what about the border crossers? And Fauci goes, oh, that's a different issue.
Yeah.
So, but instead, we're talking about this bill that passed the House on Tuesday, the Immunization Infrastructure Modernization Act, 80 House Republicans voting to pass it with the Democrats, and it basically funds a federal vaccination database. And I want to come to the text here in a minute, but here is who in Alabama voted alongside the Democrats for that bill. And it's four of our representatives, Democrat Terry Sewell.
Mm-hmm.
You'd expect that. She voted alongside her acquaintances. Jerry Carl voted yes. Gary Palmer voted yes. Mike Rogers voted yes. Hmm. So our own congressman, Jerry Carl, voted for this act. And to the summary from Congress says, this bill directs the Department of Health and Human Services to take actions to improve data sharing and other aspects of immunization information systems. These are confidential, again, confidential, population-based databases that maintain a record of vaccine administrations. I mean, unless I'm missing something that's right in front of me, this is exactly what Republicans have claimed to be against the last year and a half.
Well, so, it's kind of it's exactly what, beyond Republicans, it's what the
public,
the constituents have certainly been against anything like that.
I'd love to hear Jerry, Congressman Carl, explain, you know, why. I'm sure he has a good reason. Sam texted in, long story short, the government is a proven, documented lying, and this plays a part, in my opinion, on anything they say, including the pandemic. Their entire narrative on anything is trust us, but they end up lying in some form or fashion. Exactly like when I played Jennifer Psaki earlier saying there will be no federal vaccination database.
Is there something like, look, here's another thing that I've noticed. It's not driving me crazy, but I have noticed it. It's almost like during the pandemic, look, man, it's a changing the situation changes from moment to moment, month to month, season to season. I said that back in April.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give me a break on that. You know, things have changed since then. And again, where Fauci demands that we follow the science, and then you say, well, why did you say this then? Well, the science has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Science is, I guess it was Dr. Oz, I heard him talking about it.
A candidate for Senate in Pennsylvania.
For Senate in Pennsylvania. Yeah. He said, you know, maybe this campaign rhetoric or whatever, he said it. He said, I don't believe in science. I believe in God. Science is something that changes. That
right.
you are, you know, moment new discoveries.
Yeah.
Things that we thought were certain in April or January or yesterday. Oh, science finds out new facts,
right,
or at least new notions. And it's like, so I, you know, when you say follow the science, it sounds good enough, but when you consider the fact that what they're finding, what the scientists are finding along the way, is different than what they thought yesterday.
Well, this is another one of those, you know, black and white situations where the answer is in the gray.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people who say only follow the science and there is no God, and make laws based on science, which is changing, they're just as dumb as the people who say, I don't believe any science. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously.
Right.
Right? George says, why would Republicans co-sponsor? Pfizer's bought them. Money. Same reason they signed the infrastructure bill. Josh says, one of my favorite Reagan quotes is, the nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Very applicable to the immunization registration bill. And you mentioned the science is always changing. That's true. What hasn't changed is whether or not Americans want the federal government to have their health information on hand to use as they please.
Mm-hmm. That has not changed. But the facts of do they have that, that is changing. 830 FM Talk 106.5. Sometimes we do talk to the guests a little bit before they come on the radio with us. And in this case, because it's Rob Holbert, we haven't talked to him in a while. It's just to say, hey, man, how are you? How you feeling? And hope your health is well.
Morning, guys.
Morning, Rob. Let everybody know how you're feeling.
I'm doing better. Doing a lot better.
Good.
That's awesome.
I'm still, as people may know, I was in a boat accident on the 13th of October, and I got hit by a propeller ran across my thigh, on my left thigh, and I had to be life flighted over to New Orleans, and I almost bought the farm, but I didn't. And I kept my leg, so I'm doing okay. It's going to be a little while before I can walk, before they'll let me put full weight on it. But so I'm hobbling around a lot on my walker, getting ready for a few years from now. So it's all good.
It's a miracle, man. And we were obviously worried as soon as we heard what had happened, and praying for the best for you. And so glad that you didn't lose that leg and that you survived more than anything. I think the question that most people want to know is when will you return to the PGA Tour? And do you think you have a chance at maybe winning the Masters again?
Tiger and I were both having the same issues. Yeah. The doctors were talking about cutting our leg off. I got the distinct feeling that the doctors were very skeptical when I, about me keeping my leg at first. And, they were, because I had, it happened in Back Bay, Biloxi, and, they were just basically like, look, man, you're in brackish water, all that Vibrio, all that stuff out there, the chances of infection are just huge. I just told him, I said, look, man, I've got a great immune system for whatever reason, and I hardly ever catch anything. And on top of that, I grew up in that water. I've cut myself in it 10,000 times. And we used to use it to wash off cuts.
You had the Vibrio antibodies.
I told the guy, if anybody's got it already, I've got it.
I noticed you've been writing, your columns are now more of them are just feel-good poetry. Explain that, Rob. It's just kind of a change
of heart. I'm still as mean as I ever was, I'm perfectly honest. I thought I was going to die. I really was. My friends saved my life, and I was fortunate to have, for whatever reason, worn a belt that day and was able to use it as a tourniquet. It didn't hit my femoral artery, which was amazing. It missed it by a millimeter.
Oh my goodness.
Surgeon. And so I really thought I was going to bleed to death, and I told my friends that. I said, I'm probably about to die.
Wow.
We were right there near Keesler Air Force Base, and they appeared out of nowhere. I mean, my friend called them, and they just appeared, and the first responders dragged me out of the boat and got me in there and got me a little bit stabilized, and then Life Flight showed up. Which got me to New Orleans I will say that the University Medical Center over there, the trauma unit, was insanely great. They did a phenomenal job.
That's awesome.
Rob, it's like a lot of things had to go right for you to be.
It's really basically about everything that could go right went right.
Right.
I mean, aside from having a 70 horsepower engine run across my leg, that part sucked.
That makes my teeth hurt thinking about that.
It's not fun, and it broke my femur in two places, and it's going to be I doubt I'll be walking before March, but it's going to be a little while. But I kept telling the doctors, I'm like, please save my leg. Just like we'll do what we can. Like, put the saw away. Come on, guys.
Yeah. Well, I know it's always, weird talking about yourself like this. So we'll help you along and kind of move on to some of the newest stuff in the Lagniappe.
Yeah.
And yesterday, our big discussion was, again, the future of Ladd Peebles Stadium. And that comes after a meeting after City Council this last Tuesday, where that was exactly the topic on hand. And it sounds, on one side, you have all of these events and even the high school games moving from Ladd following the shooting in October, and then on the other hand you have the board at Ladd and Councilman William Carroll saying, hey, we could still make this a viable option and we could still have events and games at Ladd Peebles. Don't throw us away just yet. What's kind of your overall take on this?
My overall take on this is this has been happening for more than 3 years now. The writing's been on the wall for a long time. We've been hearing this from the Ladd Peebles Board since before the construction of Hancock Whitney. Oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. We're going to change the name to the, Sports and Entertainment Complex. All these things. The realities are that none of that's happened. And all they've done is lost events out there. Right now, I think they have one event on the books for next fall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything else on the books. At least they didn't tell us of anything else. You know, so now they came back and said, okay, well, we're going to have a developmental football league, whatever that is. You know, how many people are going to go watch developmental football? I would imagine they could meet in a very small room at the Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the concept of having another HBCU classic football game as a savior, as an anchor for this as well. Well, let's look at the last one that went on out there. The attendance was abysmal for that. I think, Tommy, we kind of got into it a little bit with Lad Board because I think they were saying there were 3,000 people out there or something like that. And Tommy Hicks, who's been a sports reporter for 40 years, estimated it more, I think, somewhere closer to 1,000 people.
I didn't realize the crowd was that small.
I was kind of upset about that. But,
man.
It was, regardless, if it was 3,000 people, that's hardly, that's hardly a number that I would say it's worth saving a 50,000-seat stadium and paying hundreds of thousands a year, not to mention millions in maintenance over the course of years to have this. The concept, the thing that blew me away the other day was Council President C.J. Small essentially saying that black people won't go to an HBCU game at Hancock Whitney.
Right.
I just thought that's crazy. And it's like channeling Fred Richardson or something. I don't know what he's not usually given to those kinds of weird statements, but I thought that was a bizarre statement to say that, you know, they're only going to come to this 73-year-old stadium that doesn't have any real amenities. If those games were to be lured out to Hancock Whitney or to be played out there, I think that's crazy. And, you know, I think we're lining up in some kind of strange way to have, like, we need to have a black football stadium and a white football stadium in Mobile. It just seems bizarre to me. I know Councilman Carroll has talked a little bit about having another Bay Fest type event out there. And I'm not against the city hosting some musical events at all. And the mayor has talked about sprinkling some around and having some smaller type events over the course of a year. I think that's not a bad idea. And I don't think it's a bad idea to have one out there. However, you know, if you're talking about full on Bay Fest,
mm-hmm.
If you remember the last year of Bay Fest, they had $2 million and couldn't make it work.
Right.
And we never got a full accounting of what happened to the money at the end of that.
No, we did not.
And yeah, we didn't.
Pulled out like
that. All ended, and we never got an accounting. We've tried for now 6 years now since then. We've asked sporadically over the years to talk to somebody on the board and talk about what happened, where did it go, tell us what happened with the money. And we've never gotten back. We've never heard.
Mm.
And so, you know, once again, are we going to create another one of these 501c3s that nobody has any oversight over? It's the same thing with the Lad Board. You know, to me, the Lad Board ought to be, you know, if they want more money, they need to open the books. They need to show us what the revenue was for these games that they're mm-hmm. claiming are doing well, that are going to save the stadium. I think it's just a situation where they've had some time here. And I know that everybody will say, oh, well, it was COVID and it was this and that and the other. But, I mean, it's just not an attractive place to play.
Right.
And especially when you compare it to what now is on campus at South Alabama. I think it's the contrast.
It's not even a comparison.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the idea that certain people won't go out to South is just really counterproductive. I mean, it's the university in town. It's the big university in town. You're going to say that, I mean, there's plenty of African-American students that go out there. I don't really get the concept that people aren't going to go to South and watch a football game. And the reality is, at least at the last Classic, right there in Maysville, nobody came out and watched that either. Very few people did.
I've got somebody that disagrees with that. Danny Cordy from the Sports Commission says, our last Gulf Coast Challenge in September drew 17,000. The one-time spring game did not draw well.
Okay. That's what we were talking about, I guess, the one-time spring game.
Right.
But it didn't draw.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
And, you know, the
state... 17,000, and okay, and if it is 17,000, that would fit inside the... That would fit at Hancock Whitney.
Right.
And the statement that, you know, people won't go to a certain part of Mobile to see a game, that sounds so absurd because, I mean, so many of the crowd is made up of alumni and fans of those teams. It's like saying, you know, I mean, people still showed up, maybe not a bunch, but people still showed up to see South play at Ladd People Stadium, and that's, you know, quite the drive for a lot of students there.
It's 8 miles, according to my phone. I get it. And look, even if it is a good turnout, even if it's a reasonable turnout, are we really going to hope keep a stadium alive for one game or two games a year? I mean, you look at it and you say, well, we can make this work. I think, again, you know, we need to look at what's the numbers, what's the maintenance. About 3 years ago, there was an entire list of things that needed to be done out there. Talk about water intrusion, things like that. And I don't know if it's been done or not. We're going to find out. We're going to ask about that. But it's a 70-plus-year-old stadium. It is going to require a lot of maintenance to keep going. I still don't really get the concept of why we're fighting over this thing and why it has turned into this. And honestly, if the stadium weren't there, if it wasn't there, and that space was turned into a park or whatever else, you could still have you could still have concerts out there. You can have all that. The last concert they had out at the concert they had at Ladd, the Billy Strings concert, which was a 3-day event, was hosted outside the stadium. They didn't use any part of the stadium for it. So, you know, it was just out in the parking lot and in the green space outside.
And one more thing, Rob, you know, this Ladd thing will continue, I'm sure, at these city council meetings. I did want to get your take on some of the federal money that Alabama is receiving specifically for infrastructure, you know, billions of dollars heading our way. And it's still, I know that Dale wrote a piece on this week that I guess some local politicians are hopeful that some of that money will come towards building the bridge. But, you know, Congressman Carl, he was on with Jeff Poor last week, and he still says he doesn't see any of that federal money being put into it. I mean, we broke down the numbers earlier this week. It makes almost, you know, no sense. I know we have thousands of roads that need work in Alabama and bridges, but we're talking about, again, this major portion of infrastructure here, and still no talk of more money coming that way.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I mean, I'll say it's very disappointing to have a bill that large and to say that we can't get enough to just take care of this. I mean, it's a tiny fraction of that bill that would be necessary to get this done. Mm-hmm. But I guess if you're going to look at the positive side of it, if we can get more of it, it will only help make whatever toll is necessary much smaller, you know, help it make it smaller. And, and I think, you know, we just have to be aware at some point, I think, they're realistic that there's probably going to be a small toll on it. And, you know, I think that we get the people who are saying no toll, no bridge, we'll end up with no bridge. And we're, again, if you start today, if you started right now, you're talking, you know, 10 plus years to get, it's probably going to be close to 10 years to get it built. I mean, 8-10 years. We have a traffic issue and it's got to get taken care of at some point. But I think $6 tolls and things like that are absurd, but you know, if the state will bond it like they've said they would, and we're not taking it out to a private company that's going to continuously jack up the rates and keep this thing going forever and ever, you could retire the debt and eventually make it toll free.
You know, just judging from the way I drive today, in 10 more years, I'm going to be a very poor driver. I wouldn't want to be on the road with
You'll
me.
You'll be the first to go over the new bridge. Literally off the side of it.
Hey, Rob, let everybody know where they can get your stuff at Lanyap and reach out to you as well.
Well, you guys can, of course, go find us in our purple boxes all over town and check us out online at lanyapmobile.com. You can sign up and help support us and help us keep doing what we're doing and doing the reporting we're doing. It's $1.50 a week, man. It's less than a cup of coffee. So I hope people get out there and subscribe. It's just the way things are these days. If you want to have a newspaper in your town, you need to support it.
Welcome back, Rob.
All right, guys. Y'all take care. Bye.
Right. Rob Holbert, Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. And like you said, signing up, it's a great way to get some of the best information about local news. Coming up, we'll wrap up Mobile Mornings and let you know who's coming on the Jeff Poor Show today. Thank you, Kane. 5 till 9, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings rolls on a Thursday. The segment brought to you by Tobias McCormick & Comer, a local personal injury law firm that, well, they treat their people right. And looking forward to talking with Brian Comer. He's coming into the studio again next Monday. And we'll talk a bit about holiday driving and how to be safe as you make those big trips. You know, we just got past one of those major holidays where lots of people hit the road. But of course, many people will be traveling for Christmas and New Year's. And there are some steps you can take to make sure that everybody is as safe as possible and that your trip goes swell. So you'll want to pay attention to that on Monday. But at Tobias McCormick & Comer, they have compassion and a track record of success for making things right for their clients. Now, at TMC, they work each of their clients' cases personally, from start to finish. They don't hand your case over to another lawyer that you don't know at some other law firm. They get to know you on a personal level and then fight for you. They've handled hundreds of personal injury cases and a combined 70 years of experience and have recovered over $45 million for their clients. So let Tobias McCormick & Comer put their expertise to work for you. Find them online, tmclawyers.com, or for a free consultation, 251-432-5001.
Next up on the Jeff Poor Show, Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. I just got his email. It comes every weekday. He's going to be a guest in around 9:30. Steve Flowers, columnist, also going to be on there.
Mm-hmm. And Todd Stacey, the soon-to-be new host of Capital Journal,
yep,
on Alabama Public Television. Also, former State Senator Dick Brubaker and State Representative Randall Shedd in that third hour. Dan, how is the you got your tree up?
I do have my tree.
How's the tree lighting going?
So, not great. So it's one of these artificial Christmas trees. I don't know if you're familiar with it. And it the lights come with the phony, like the tree's completely phony.
Yeah, it's embedded. The lights are already
embedded.
Yeah.
The lights are more real than the tree. I mean, you can't have artificial lights.
Well, you have that pine allergy, right?
That was the crux of the matter. So anyway, a friend donated a tree, so there's like the lights come in different banks, I guess, and it's like Hancock Whitney.
Yeah,
only so many of the lights come on.
Yeah,
and so I'm a little disheartened, yeah, by it, but I'm still working on it.
You know, let's put things out in the open. I handed that tree over. I was like, hey,
all right,
you know, let me gift you this tree that completely works. Everything's fine. You won't have any problems with it.
Yeah.
And, it has a light problem. I probably should have let you know that before I handed it over.
Oh, you were aware of the light problem.
I might have been aware.
So last night
my wife was able to make it work.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Well, send her the blank over. Because I've sent Dalton the picture last night because he did gift me this tree. I think he gifted me a tree. He said, hey, I want it back. That doesn't make sense. But anyway, he said...
I said you could have it until December 20th.
Yeah, nice. have it back in your mansion by Christmas Eve. And again, that doesn't make any sense. But I sent him a picture of the tree, and it's up, and it's fine and dandy. But just it's almost like a stadium. Like the lower deck, those lights are on. Everything else is complete shutout. Well, so there's a disconnect there, literally.
With my real Christmas tree, our problem, the stand can't handle it.
Oh.
I came home yesterday. We had it propped up outside. It had fallen over and snapped its neck. So there's problems in real Christmas tree land as well.
There is. And I think I'm going to be able to get to my problem when I get back from Atlanta. How about that? All right. It's 8:59.